Welcome back. It's so good to have you with us. And we thank Blaine for doing all the photography. It's his idea to try all these different venues. And so here we are outside. And it's kind of exciting to do that because, as you can see, our church is here. But the door's not open. That's because we have a family of robins here. They thought it was spring-like, so there's a nest there on the wreath on the door. And so this is one of the ways that our church is growing. We have three new eggs right in there waiting to join us. And so it reminds us that God provides for the grass of the field and clothes them with beautiful flowers, and he takes care of the birds of the air, and he'll take care of us through this time. So I invite you to listen to the message. I'm looking forward to it, to listening to it, because today I'm not giving the message, but our brother, the Reverend Jonathan Frazier, will be giving the message. So, Jonathan, if you come and lead us.
All right, thank you. It's great to be here, to be outside. So let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that we can worship thee, we can praise thee. We can even be at home, we can be alone, we can be unseparated, we can be divided, not together. But we know that thou art with us wherever we are, each of us in our homes, each of us in our places where we are. And so we can trust thee that thou art with us. We trust thee to speak to us at this time. Teach us from thy word, teach us thy will. Help us to understand what thou art saying. And we thank thee and we give thee the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I was 10 years old, I was given a Sunday school assignment. I was asked to read the book of Proverbs. And so I read the book of Proverbs. And at that time, I realized I found a very important verse, one that's been my life verse ever since. And that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And I saw that verse, and I realized this is very important. I like things that are concise. I like things that say a lot in a little. And I think these three principles are very foundational to Christians, but of course this was written 1,000 years before Christ. I think this was God's plan all along after the fall. After the fall, this was God's plan for everyone, that we need to trust in the one God, the true God, the Lord, and this is capital L-O-R-D, meaning Jehovah, Yahuwah. And we don't trust in ourselves. And in all our ways, in everything we do, we acknowledge him, we bring glory to him. And he'll show us his will. He'll show us what we need to do. Now, Paul, I believe, had the same idea and put it in a little different way. And that's found in Philippians 3:3. So if you're at home and you're sitting on the couch or at your desk, you can get out a printed Bible. We're going to do a little study in the book of Philippians. So we won't jump all over the Bible. Just most Bibles, it's just two pages. Let's look at the book of Philippians, what Paul has to say. Now, we know the book that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. It's a very encouraging letter. He felt very high, very good about the church in Philippi. And so he had very good things, encouraging things. And I believe at this time, this special time in our lives, in our country, in all of history, that we need encouragement. We need to come back to the basics. We need to know the fundamentals, what it is that God wants us to do at this time. And Paul writes in Philippians 3:3. So the key verse we're going to work out of is Philippians 3:3. It says, for we are the true circumcision, or we might say, for us, for the true believers. We are the true believers who worship God in the Spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. I believe these are the same three fundamental points that Solomon wrote 1,000 years earlier. And these same 3 points can help us in our daily life as we deal with these special circumstances, as we deal with everything. This is the way God wants us to live as the true believers. So let's look at the first phrase. It says, worship in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. Worship. In this verse and in the Bible, we have a lot of religious, we have a lot of spiritual words, but all these words have everyday meanings. And so worship just means to give worth, to give value. What is it that's important in your life? What is number one? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your resources? What do you think about before you make a decision? What are your priorities? This is where your value is. This is what you worship. So even people that don't consider themselves religious, they worship because what they put valuable is what they worship in their lives. So what is it that we put value? What is it that we consider valuable in our lives? So number one, focus on Jesus. This is the way we worship. We focus on Jesus. Now, for us who have come from the West, this entire society for the last 1,000 or 2,000 years, we were taught in Scripture to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and from Him, we get an understanding of the unlimited, all-knowing, almighty, invisible God. But for those who came from the East, they already had an understanding of an unlimited, all-knowing, almighty, invisible God. And so when we share to them about Christ, it's difficult for them to shrink their unlimited God into the limited Jesus. But for us, it's a beautiful thing. For everyone who is raised in a Western Greco-Roman mentality, it's a beautiful thing to look at the Lord Jesus Christ in Scriptures. And from Him, we understand the greatness, the unlimited attributes of our God, of our invisible God. And so we focus on Jesus. We focus on the Lord Jesus Christ so that He might always may be first in our lives. Look what Paul says in Philippians 2:9. God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name Jesus, which is above every name. Jesus' name is first. It is the highest. It is the most exalted. It is the name with the most value. And so this name and this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, is where we focus, is where we keep our focus, is where we maintain a remembrance, maintain an honor, maintain value, putting Him first at all times. Paul also writes in 3:8, he says, I count the loss of all things rubbish that I might gain Christ. So these things we do every day, eating and drinking and working and playing and buying and selling, and these things we do every day, they have value. But Paul says, in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are just garbage. And why is that? Because many of these things we consider kind of important, like our car and our house. But they're all temporal. They'll all rust and deteriorate and go away. But what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ lasts forever. Lasts forever. And Paul saw this, that he said, the things that I have, I will give up in comparison. I will give up in the point I will not put my whole heart into. My whole heart is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God. Faith in God. So we have this great spiritual word, faith. Faith, of course, just means believe. We believe in God. We believe in God. And this is how we worship in the Spirit. We stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have faith in the God of the Bible. Paul writes, "He who began a work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." We have to have faith that it is God who is working in us. We have faith that all that is going on, yes, there's sicknesses, and yes, there's war, and there's troubles, and there are even little problems in my immediate life. But we have to believe that God sees them, God knows them. He maybe did not ordain them, but he has allowed them, because he is working in us. Not that we might be temporally better, which we can, but that we might be eternally better. This is why these things are not as valuable as what God is doing in us. Because what God is doing in us lasts forever. And that has so much more valuable than anything we can do or have here on earth. Also writes in 2:13, "For it is God who is working you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So we have to believe that what God is doing in us is not only what is best for us, it is best for him. He believes this is what he wants. He wants for what is best for us, but he also is doing what is pleasurable, what is good for him. He always wants the best. We sometimes settle for good, and everything around us God created, and he said it's good. But he has something better. He has best. And that is when he works in us and through us, and we worship him in the Spirit, then we have eternal rewards. Filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is like a fountain. When we think we're full of the Holy Spirit, it's not like a bucket. You dip a bucket in a pool and you pull it up. It's full of water. No. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like a fountain flowing and overflowing and helping others and renewing ourselves. We want the Holy Spirit to be a flowing fountain. Paul writes in 1:11, "Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness." And again, when we can look at the trees now, I can see trees. You can see trees at your home. You look at the trees and what's be coming out? Fruit, growing, and we see growth. And this is what we want to see in our lives. We want to see the Spirit working in our lives and growing, producing fruit. And again, this is not temporal. This is everlasting fruit, righteousness. The Bible says that Christ is our righteousness. This righteousness is something that lasts forever. And he says in 2:1, Paul writes in Philippians 2:1, "Fellowship of the Spirit." Again, this being filled with the Spirit is something continuous. It is fellowship. It is we speaking to him, he speaking to us. It is continual fellowship. It is like a fountain flowing. So to worship in the Spirit is focus on Jesus, faith in God, and filled with the Spirit. And this is trust in the Lord, as Solomon wrote. We are trusting in the Lord at all times. The second phrase, glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second fundamental principle that we need to be in our lives at all times. Glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, this word glory is a religious word, spiritual word. It just means to make known. Who are you making known in your life? When people see you, who do they think about? Who are you making known? And how do we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? Number one, remember continually. Remember continually. And the spiritual word is meditate. Meditate. What does meditate mean? It means to remember continually, to have it go over and over. And to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to have these principles in our life, they need to be a routine. They have to become part of us. It's not a one time. We go to church, we hear, we come home, we're a different person here, we're a different person there. The scripture, the Christian life, the Lord Jesus Christ has to become, the Holy Spirit becomes a part of us. And so we need to remember this continually. Paul writes in 1:4, always offering prayer in joy. And he writes in 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. So always is a part of our Christianity. We have to remember, we have to meditate, we have to continually, always. We always have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And this gives us joy. We always have faith in God. This is the way we worship. And we always focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, remark publicly. So we remember internally, but sometimes we need to speak. Sometimes we need to speak. And in speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking about what God is doing in our lives, we are glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in 4:5, let your forbearing spirit be made known, here again, glorify, be made known to all men. So how are you maintaining? How are you forbearing? How are you keeping up with this situation? Well, you can let others know. You can speak. You can speak out loud. You can tell. I am surviving. I'm not going total stir crazy. I'm not completely out of my mind because God is helping me. I'm getting closer in these quiet times, in these extra times. I'm getting closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you can just speak that. That is, we are forbearing. We are bearing up under this situation. And we can tell others. We can speak publicly. And if you're alone, Paul writes in 4:6, let your requests be made known to God. We can speak out loud. I've been part of some Zoom prayer meetings. You can connect with other people through the internet. You can pray out loud. Or you can just pray at home. But sometimes we need to speak, not just internally remember what God is doing in our lives, but we can speak. We can talk to Him. We can tell Him. We can say, hey, God, I'm tired of sitting in here all by myself. I want to get out. I want to go to work. We can talk. God wants to hear us. And this is the way we bring glory to God, because we're recognizing that He has the answer. He is the one that is working His glory and His work and doing His will in our lives. And number three, to reflect deeply. So we remember, we remark, we speak, and we reflect in our spirit. Here again, this faith of ours, I said, Paul is writing to the true believers. If we are a true believer, this down deep, it needs to become down deep. It needs to become of our heart. It's funny, in the book of Psalms, David writes about it being in his bowels. That is not something we speak about in our Western culture. But it was like in his guts. He had gut feelings about God and about his faith. But for us, let's put it right here in our heart. It needs to be down in our heart, these fundamental beliefs, this worshiping in the Spirit and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So number three is reflect deeply. Conviction. It needs to be a conviction. And what were Paul's convictions? And fortunately, they're right here in the book of Philippians. Paul's greatest conviction, expression of his convictions, is found in 3:10. He says, of all things, yes, I've planted churches and I've preached all over the place and I've gone and argued and been tortured. And he's done all these amazing things. But in his heart, down in his heart, he says, I want that I may know him. Down in his heart, he wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ more. Yes, he wants to plant another church, but in his heart, he wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ more. And he wants to experience the power of the resurrection. Since in the history of man, There have been three in the Bible, three great demonstrations of God's power. Creation, that the whole world can see. The parting of the Red Sea was a demonstration for the nation of Israel. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the greatest demonstration of God's power for the church. And Paul says, I want to experience that, maybe even daily. I want to experience the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life to overcome my problems, my needs, my temptations, my shortcomings. I want to experience God's power in my life. That was Paul's conviction. And then he goes on and says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. So every time we suffer, whether it's pain, sickness, difficulties, suffering in our mind, in our heart, in our emotions, any kind of suffering, this is a special fellowship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the apostles, the disciples, could rejoice and say, wow, that was great, we got beat. The world talks like that. They said it was great we got beat because we had fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. And then Paul says, and being conformed to his death. What happened to Christ on the cross? What does it mean he died? Why did he die? He was sinless. He couldn't die. The wages of sin is death. He hadn't committed sin. How could he die? He died because he took our sins and paid the price. So every day we die to sin. This is something we continually do in our lives. And Paul says, I want to be like Christ. I want to be conformed. I want to have all my sin dead. And so daily we die to our sin. This was Paul's deep conviction. And this is the way Paul worshiped and gloried and glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. So we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ by remembering continually, remarking publicly, and reflecting deeply. And then the third point. It says, do not trust in the flesh. Do not trust in the flesh. And again, what is this? Well, the opposite, of course, is as Solomon says, trust in the Lord. We don't trust in ourselves, we trust in the Lord. But it's so natural to trust in ourselves. So we have to recognize, what do we recognize? Number one, humanity. We're human. We have to remember that we're human. And in being human, we're weak. Being human, we're dying. Every day we're getting older. We're getting a little weaker. And so we don't trust in this. And we have to recognize that this is not the answer to our solution, the answer to our problems. Paul writes in 3:8, I count all things. What are these things? It was his education, his family's life, his own personal reputation, the things he had accomplished, the things he had done. He says, I count them as loss. In view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So we don't trust in our humanity. We don't trust in our education. We don't trust in our intellect. We don't trust in our abilities, in our wealth. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says in 1:21, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Again, to live is to live glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. To die is gain because I am no longer here in this human body, but I am with Christ in my glorified body. And that is why Paul could say, I don't trust this. I don't need to put my trust in my body. I put my trust in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, hurting. Paul experienced a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. And we sometimes experience pain and suffering. And we hurt. And we feel pain. When we feel pain, we recognize there's a problem. This is why God allowed pain. But sometimes we have extreme pain. And we have problems. And we have hurts emotionally. We're fallen. We're fallen. We have a mind. God's given us a wonderful mind, but we forget. We can't know everything. We sometimes just can't figure out everything. We just don't understand everything. We're fallen. We have emotions, but they become imbalanced. And we are not able to control ourselves at times. And we have a will, but sometimes we make the wrong decision. We're fallen. And Paul wrote in 129, "For you, it has been granted for Christ's sake to suffer for his sake." It's actually God's will for us to suffer. And why again? So that we can have fellowship with the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also for us to remember that we're human, to remember that we're fallen, to remember not to put our faith in ourselves, not to trust in our flesh, not to rely on ourselves, but to trust in him. So, and number three, of not putting our trust in our flesh, humanity, hurting, and humility. That's another spiritual word, humility. All it means is we're needy. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. We need others. And this is part of the body of Christ. Sorry, we can't meet together and experience how much we truly need each other. But we do need each other, and that's part of the body of Christ. And of course, we also need God in our lives. Paul writes in 2:3, "Do nothing from selfish and empty conceit." Selfish means, again, thinking about myself, doing it myself, doing it for myself. He says, don't do anything from selfish and empty conceit. "But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself." This is not easy, but this is really what humility means, that other people are more important than I am. God, I need to pray for others. I need to spend my time, my spiritual resources in praying for others because they are more important than I am. I need to think that God cares about others. God wants to save our neighbors and our friends and the people here and the people around the world because they are important. And we do that. And we express our humility by being concerned and working and helping others. And that is humility, practicing humility. In 3:21, Paul writes, "Who will transform the body of our humble state?" Our humble state. This is why we don't put our trust in ourselves, because it is humble. It is fallen. It is weak. "Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself?" 3:21. He is going to transform this humble, weak, fallen, dying body into a glorified body. But at this time, we don't put our trust. We don't rely on ourselves. And as Solomon put it, we don't lean on our own understanding. Why? Because our understanding is fallen. We don't lean on our body because our body is weak. We don't lean on our resources because our resources are limited and temporal. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. We worship in the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't lean on our own understanding. We don't put trust in ourselves. In all our ways, acknowledge him. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in all we do. And there are promises and there are rewards. And he says he will direct our paths. He will show us his will. He will bless us. He will glorify this temporal body. And that we will be with him throughout all eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank thee that thou loves us. I thank thee that thou cares for us. I thank thee that thou knows us. Thou knows our weak body. Thou knows our shortcomings. Thou knows our temporal state. Thou knows that we are suffering at this time. We are on the brink of catching a virus. We all see death before us all the time now. But we can trust in thee. we can worship thee, we can glorify thee, and we can give thee the true value that thou art worth. And I thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, John. We appreciate your the word from God there. We see that our new visitors are here, sitting on the nest, flying back and forth behind John. We want to make sure that you take advantage of our Zoom meetings we have for the men's group on Monday at 7 o'clock, and then we had a Wednesday night sharing time at 7 o'clock, and then on Sunday morning, 9:30 and 3 o'clock. You'll find the links there in either an email or at the website. And so it's so good to be able to meet this way, but of course we're looking forward to when we can actually be together, hug one another, and just give God glory together as a church body. So thank you again. Bye-bye.